Blog Talk Radio.
Cover me, Lord. Not just me, Lord. Father, cover every listening ear, Lord, Father, that are listening now, that will listen at a later date. And yes, Lord, we thank you for covering this broadcast this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, knowing that there is nothing that can happen to us today that the God in us cannot handle. You are tuned in to Time to Talk About It, where I'm your host, Sister Diane, and this broadcast is founded by the late Apostle Gloria Cheever Porter. And you all know We start this broadcast off with prayer. So I'm trusting that you already got your prayer list. You're already getting your set place that we can touch and agree, for we are our brothers and sisters keepers. We are to pray one for another. Amen. So go ahead, take the time, get your prayer list together. Come on and let's tear the devil kingdom down. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there is no other God but you. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness and those that we're praying for. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespassed against us. Heavenly Father, I hold before you every prayer warrior, every intercessor, every watchman, Lord Father, those that are praying in season, out of season this day. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now from the crown of their head, Father God, for the soles of their feet. And we said no weapons that is formed against them shall prosper, Lord. Father, we thank you for the hedge of protection round about them, Lord Father. As they continue to war and intercede, Lord Father, standing in the gap, Lord Father God, for others this day, Lord. Father, we take you not for granted this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord Father, that we're able to pray, Lord Father, not just for ourselves, not just for our family, Lord Father, but for others as well. Heavenly Father, as you see, all prayer lists is raised before you, hands laid upon them this day, O God. Father, you know each and every person, name by name, Lord Father, and what they're in need of. Father God, some ask for prayer for themselves, some ask for prayer for others, O God. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for answering prayers this day, O God. We thank you, O God, for hearing prayers this day, O God. Oh, God, we thank you for the prayers that you have already answered, answering and about to answer, Lord. Father, for in this day, Lord, Father, we're looking, Lord, Father, for miracles, Lord, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for your healing virtue, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father, God, for your joy right now, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father, for your peace that pass all understanding this day. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Cheney, Hubert, and Ruth, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for bringing them through this COVID right now, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you for touching their immune system right now, Lord Father. We thank you for your supernatural strength over them right now. In the name of Jesus, and Father God, not just them, Lord, but all those, Lord Father, that have COVID in this day and this time right now, Lord Father. Father, may they look up, Lord Father, and continue to speak healing over their bodies right now, Lord. Father, you give us that power. You give us that authority, Lord Father, that we can speak, Lord Father, in your name this day, Lord Father. We can lay hands, Lord Father, upon ourselves this day, O God. And Father, trust and believe, Lord Father, in who, Lord Father, you are, Lord, for you are the God that healeth thee. You send your only begotten Son, O God, to die on the cross for us this day, for every sickness and every disease, Lord. Father, your Son took the stripes on his back, Lord Father, for every sickness and every disease, Lord. And we say thank you.
So we call out that sickness right now in your bodies, Lord. We come against cancer. We come against diabetes. We come against HIV. We come against anything that is coming against your body right now in the name of Jesus. And we cast it out into outer darkness, pulling it up from the root cause and all the tentacles that goes along with it. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for washing us this day in your blood, Lord. We thank you for washing us this day in your blood and renewing the right spirit within us this day, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for canceling premature deaths right now, Lord, Father, as we speak life and that more abundantly, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father, for every bold soldier, Lord, Father, that is rising up, Lord, Father, and taking their rightful place this day in your army, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and glorifying you this day, Lord, for there is no other God but you, Lord. There are many imitators, Lord, Father, but you are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. Father, you are our creator this day, Lord. So, Father, this nation, Lord, Father, as I hold this nation, oh God, before you, Lord, Father, they need you, Lord. Father, they need you like never before, oh God. Father God, they took you out of schools, Lord Father. There's mass shooting, Lord Father. There's trafficking, Lord Father. There's child molesters in schools this day, Lord Father. Father, they took you out of the workplace, Lord Father. Father, they took you out, Lord Father, of where, Lord Father, they make bills and pass laws right now, Lord Father, over your people, Lord Father. Father, we ask this day, Lord, Father, that you hear the cries of your people, oh God. Father, your people that are rising up and don't mind praying, Lord, Father, praying in season and out of season, Lord, Father. Father, I ask you, Lord, Father, to keep that hedge of protection round about them, Lord, Father. Father, our prayer list is right now, Lord, Father. We thank you and glorifying you right now, Lord, Father, for touching each and every person upon our prayer list this day, oh God. Father, we thank you for your healing, Lord, Father. We thank you for your perfections. We thank you, Lord, Father, for you being that provider. We thank you, Lord, Father, for being everything, Lord, Father, that we need in this time and in this day, oh God. Father, we thank you for our going out and our coming in this day, oh God. Father, we just say thank you for this opportunity, Lord, Father, that we can come expecting hearing the word, Lord, Father, that you have for us this day, Lord, Father. Father, teach us, oh God, not just to be hearers of the word, oh God, but to be doers of the word as well, Lord, Father. Go out and share your gospel this day, for we are, Lord, Father, all ministers of the gospel, Lord, Father. Father, help us, Lord, Father, not to be ashamed nor afraid, oh God, to share our testimonies, oh God, and where you have brought us from, Lord, Father. Father, that others, oh God, may be encouraged this day, oh God. Father, to change their life and come in, Lord, Father, into your army this day, oh God. Knowing, oh God, that time is winding up. It's at hand this day, Lord. Father, forgive us, oh God, where we have walked contrary to your word this day, oh God. Father, we ask that you decrease us, Lord, Father, as you increase in us, Lord, Father. Use us this day, oh God, to be a light in someone's darkness, Lord. And, Father, as we remember that no weapon that is formed against us, oh God, shall prosper, Lord. For you say, let God arise and our enemies will be scattered this day in the name of Jesus. For you say you will fight against those that fight against us, Lord, Father. And, Father, those, Lord, Father, God, that are weak right now in spirit, Lord, Father, we speak strength to them, Lord. We speak encouragement to them right now in the name of Jesus. If they will only look up, Lord, Father, and, Father, call upon your name this day, oh God. And, Father, God, we pray this day, Lord, Father, that those that are in need of prayer, Lord, Father, have that praise report or willing, Lord, Father, this day, Lord, to give their life to you, Lord Father. Let them not be afraid nor ashamed, Lord Father, to call, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, we glorify and magnify you, Lord, for your blood covering, Lord Father, your blood covering the hearts and minds of your people this day, Lord. Father, I hold before you, Lord Father, Pastor Carl Bowling, Lord Father. And Father, I thank you and glorify you, Lord, for using him this day, Lord Father. Father, I ask that you decrease him, O God, as you increase in him, Lord. Father, use him this day, Lord. Use him this day. Give the people the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word this day, Lord. Father, we cover that word this day under the blood, Lord. We thank you for the word that's coming to heal, Lord Father, to set them free, Lord Father. Father, to deliver right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just continue to lift your name on high, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that entrusted us this day, Lord Father, to pray and intercede, Lord Father, on their behalf, Lord Father. We thank you for every praise report, Lord Father, every prayer request, Lord. Father, we thank you for those, Lord Father, that touching and agreeing with us as we pray this day, O God. Father, for we are our brothers and sisters keepers, Lord. So, Father, this day, Lord Father, we ask you, Lord Father, to show up and show out this day, Lord. Holy Spirit, take control of this broadcast. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, we activate you this day on this broadcast in us right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, O Lord. We glorify and magnify you this day. In Jesus' name we pray, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I thank God for waking me up this morning, clothed in my right mind, being able to do not just for myself, but for others. Knowing that before you leave the house, you make sure you take God with you, because no day is promised to us. Each and every day is a gift. Each and every day is a gift to us. What you do with your gift of life that was granted to you this day, it's all on you. But I ask you today, be a light in someone's darkness. Don't be afraid nor ashamed to share your testimony with someone. That person, that person needs to hear it from you today. And I can tell you, I was invited to a birthday dinner, and I was hesitant on going. And when I went to that birthday dinner, I encountered two young ladies. And in sharing a testimony, open up the door for you to talk about God. Talk about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. And that young lady said to me, she said, I was not going to come, but you're the reason why I came. I came to hear this, and you encourage me. So you know what? You can encourage someone with a testimony. And the testimony wasn't even about me. I was letting them know about, you know, my classmate that has the double mastectomy and stomach cancer. And I was just sharing with them what God have done and doing for her. and it opened up a door. So don't allow the enemy to keep your mouth closed. She said that she, you know, she stopped talking, giving her testimony and stuff like that. I say, well, you will do that no more. I say, the enemy shut your mouth and you allowed him to shut your mouth. But this day we're going to stand in God because he gave us that power and that authority. And you will begin to speak your testimony. You will share your testimony. When God say open your mouth, you open your mouth. You don't know the life that you're about to save. It's no time for us to be private or afraid or ashamed of where God has brought us from. Don't be afraid. That's the enemy on his job. Will you be on your job for your Lord and your Savior, the one that saved you, the one that continually forgives you when you come to him? So open your mouth this day and speak. Stop allowing the enemy to muffle your voice that God has given you to speak with the power and the authority. I just thank God. I thank God for where he has brought me from. I thank God for this radio broadcast. I thank God for each and every one of you, those that are listening right now, those that will listen at a later date. I thank God for you all because you all come and you hear the word that God has at this present time for you to hear. I thank God for this awesome man of God that is faithful, faithful that comes on and give what God have given him to give to us. I'm trusting that you have already prepared your heart and your mind to receive the word as it comes forth. Pull on the anointing this day. Pull on the word. Pull on it. God is faithful to us. Are we faithful to God? Or are we just faithful to him only when we're in need of something? We serve an awesome and powerful God. I will give you the word today, and I will introduce to you the speaker of the hour. To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible. To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible. I'm trusting at this time that you all already call up your friends, share the broadcast, share the number, share the link to hear this awesome man of God. He is faithful to the cause. He is faithful to his Lord and Savior, and he never hesitates to bring a word. I'm here to present to you Pastor Carl Boland of Wind of Life Ministries in Virginia. I just thank God for you, Pastor Boland. The floor is now yours.
Amen, amen. Thank you this morning, Sister Diane. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank the Lord for another opportunity to just come before you and share the word of God. You know, I think I should just pass my notes to Sister Diane because she was all in my stuff this morning. But I thank God for that because we're going to talk about some things that she had just shared with us and what transpired in her life. And I want to encourage everyone. And this is what I want to say to those who are followers of Christ Jesus. You have to understand that it is a necessity for you to be around the unsaved. the unchurched, because you will be the only door that they walk through to find out who Jesus is. You know, I've been running into this lately, Sister Diane, and even yet back to when the pandemic started to unfold, that people were so much in a rush to get back in church, we forgot that our first primary objective is to be that witness for Christ to the unsaved world, and that shall never stop. So don't get so comfortable with being around saved folk. I know we want to be around each other, but the goal is to bring the lost to the church, because Jesus said it is his will that no man perish and that all come unto repentance. So I just thank the Lord that you were in and out of what I'm going to talk about today. So I'm going to talk about next level faith. Next level faith with the subtext come up here, because as I was listening to Sister Diane talk, when she was talking about sharing her testimony, that was an invitation that she gave to somebody into her testimony. The other thing I want to share with you, as you look for Revelation, the fourth chapter, verse 1, I want you to also pull up First Epistle of John, the second chapter, and verse 20. 1 John 2 and 20, it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One that you may know all things. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the anointing of God through the Holy Spirit is now in you. I've seen, and as I look back over my life, a lot of people get caught up into not understanding what they have, and they're waiting for someone to tell them that they have it. But you have the anointing once you've been born again. So having said that, let's get into this morning. Revelation, the fourth chapter, verse 1 from the New Living Translation. Next level faith, come up here. It says, then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, come here, my Lord, and I will show you what must happen after this. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now thanking you for another opportunity to glean into your word, for another opportunity to accept the invitation from you to come up here, to come where you desire for us to be. Help us now, Master, to not get comfortable in where we are, but that you make us always wanting to come where you are, my Lord, my God. I pray now, Master, that you cause our ears to hear you like a trumpet, that you cause our eyes to see you like we've never seen before, that we may, Master, go out to a dying world and tell them that the wages of sin is still death, but the gift of God is always eternal life. In Jesus' holy name. Holy Spirit, I release myself to you right now. I engage you, Holy Spirit, that I may activate you inside of me now, that this demonstration be from you and not me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next level of faith, come up here. As I was meditating on this scripture, I began to see that this was an invitation from God to John. And the invitation was a call to action, to move, or to ascend to a different place, a higher height, or to a next level faith. And just as John was invited to move, to ascend to a different place, a higher height, and into a next level faith, you and I have the same invitation. This invitation suggests that where I currently am is not where I should aspire to be. Perhaps the level that I am on may be the floor, not the ceiling or the rooftop, giving me a different viewpoint and perspective. Throughout the Bible, and even now, man has found himself in seasons of transition, times of isolation, or in the valley of decision. And it is during those times I have seen throughout Scripture, it was then that God made an invitation to come up here. And that phrase gives us insight into what the Lord calls us to do. Because come is an action, up is a direction, and here is a location. I want you to grab that. So I'm going to say it again. Come is an action, up is a direction, and here is a location. God is always calling us to come because come is an action word. It's an action word that symbolizes a move, step, or to engage him at the next level. But what I love about it is that it is not a commandment, but an invitation that I can accept or reject and voluntarily move in it henceforth. The phrase, come up here, or move to the next level. Albert Einstein wrote this quote, nothing happens until something moves. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. As a matter of fact, come is mentioned in the Bible 1,971 times. Isn't that something, Sister Diane? So God is always bidding us and inviting us to come where he desires for us to be where he is. So there's no order to move. It is strictly an invitation. Just as John heard a voice that invited him to act and engage in a deeper relationship with God, we have the same opportunity. As a matter of fact, Sister Diane mentioned it, to engage and activate the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get to that later. In the book of John, the disciples asked Jesus, where dwellest thou or where you abide? Jesus responded with an invitation, come and see. Are you with me? Up is a direction. It denotes another level, an elevation or higher place. It is the opposite of down. It speaks of God calling us into a higher position of next level faith. And it is in this next level of faith that our prayer life is challenged to move up from just calling on God during a crisis, but move into a deeper intimacy with him. This next level to faith to move up will increase the amount of time spent in devotion with God. That's what it will do to you. In other words, coming up to next level in God will cause us to speak up, clean up, or stand up for God in ways we've never known before. As a matter of fact, that's what Sister Diane was sharing with us. She didn't want to go to the party, to the dinner. But when she got there, she had an opportunity to speak up. She had an opportunity to stand up for God, and look what it did. Somebody was in search of something from God, and they got it. So that's why it's important for us to engage ourselves with others, whether it's in church or out of church. So God invites us up here. Here is a location, a specific place, a designated space or a special moment. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. There it is. Next level faith requires that after you have accepted the invitation to come up here, that you be willing and obedient to answer the call to move to a spiritual space. I want you to remember that, to move to a spiritual space. Look at Revelation 4:2. I want to put a pin in it right here. So after John said he looked and saw the door open in heaven, he heard the voice speak to God. Look at verse 2. It says, and instantly I was in the Spirit. In order to rise and operate and engage God in next level faith, it must be done through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit, that you must engage and activate him. I wish I had time to get into it, But I was with a pastor friend of mine the other week having lunch, and we began to talk about this. And what I love about God is when he gives me a message, along the way before I deliver it or teach it, he will have me engage with somebody in some way pertaining to it. And we begin to talk about that we must understand the importance of engaging the Holy Spirit. We engage the Father, we engage the Son, but we also must engage the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you some homework. In John, the 16th chapter, Jesus talked about that in verse 4. He said that we may be engaged with the Holy Spirit, to paraphrase it, that he was telling us to be in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what the scripture said. That's what Jesus said in the scripture. So I want you to read John, the 16th chapter, verses 4 down to about verse 20, so that you can understand that the function of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to get into that shortly, that he is in heaven. He's the third person of the Godhead. So he's in heaven. He downloads to us, to our spirit man, that our spirit man may upload what the Holy Spirit reveals to us from Jesus into our minds. Wow. Come up here. To move to a spiritual place. As a matter of fact, that's called a Kairos moment. A Kairos moment. I wish I had time to really dive into that, but let me share with you what a Kairos moment is. Kairos time deals with revelation and truth as it pertains to your now, to uncover that which is already there of what you need to do now through truth. Come up here. So God has made an invitation. Jesus has made an invitation to John on the Isle of Patmos to come up here that he may uncover to him. In 1 Chronicles 12 and 32, about this anointing, from the tribe of Issachar, there were leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. I wish you had time to really dive into that. But I'm reading a book about that, and it's called The Issachar Anointing. And it deals with understanding God's truth being revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. But we must activate the Holy Spirit within us, because we need God's divine direction in this time. The final completion of the first five books of the Bible were written in the 6th and 5th century, but we live in the 21st century. So we need God's direction for the church and our personal lives as it pertains to Kairos time. Jesus was critical of his generation, or in his generation, for their inability to understand the time. Look at Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 54 through 56. It records these words. This is Jesus talking. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? There it is. There it is. A Kairos moment, or Kairos moment, causes us to be alert, aware, and attentive. But I want to jump back into that spiritual thing, because it's important that we understand that and grab that. That, as Sister Diane had said, to activate the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do is I want to now share with you out of the book of Corinthians. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. And we're going to be in and out of that into the 3rd chapter. So I'm going to give you another homework assignment. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9 through the 3rd chapter, verse 3. And here's what it says in verse 9. But it is written, eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through his spirit. I want you to catch that because a lot of people miss this. And I want to walk this down for you so you can grab it and connect it to John. Because in verse 2 in Revelation, the 4th chapter, John said, instantly I was in the spirit. So he had to get things revealed to his fleshly mind through the spirit of God. So right here in this Corinthian, he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about earth because he said God has already revealed it. So I want you to catch this here. When the anointing is turned on and turned up, you get to see things eyes cannot see. That's what verse 9 is saying. When the anointing is turned on and turned up, you get to hear things your ears have not heard. You get to hear things ears have not heard. When the anointing is turned on and turned up, you get to think things that you would not normally think. That's why John instantly said, I was in the spirit. In other words, the anointing is taking you behind the physical. That's why I mentioned that first epistle of John, the second chapter, verse 20. You have an anointing from the Holy One. That is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is showing you what your eyes can see. It is letting, he is letting you hear what your ears don't audibly pick up. It is, he is letting you perceive what you didn't normally think on your own. The Holy Spirit is taking you out of your physical into a spiritual reality. So that the physical is now perceiving, experiencing, seeing, and hearing things that is outside of its normal physical realm. I say again, next level faith requires an invitation for you to come up here, and the prerequisite is that you have to be in the spirit to perceive it. AKA the Holy Spirit. So John was on the Isle of Patmos, and they sent him there for a physical reason to die. But Jesus met him there for another reason. Are you with me? Can I suggest to you that if all you see is what you see, you do not see all there is to be seen because there is a spirit realm. If you are limited to your five senses, then you will not get divine messaging because even though you are a Christian, the dimmer switch is off. As Sister Diane has said, you have not activated the Holy Spirit. You can subdue him. And when you do it, you turn the spirit off. Or it's so low, you can't see the light shining. So there must be the ability to see beyond the physical eye, the ear, and your own human mind. And that can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit. Look at what it goes on to say in 1 Corinthians here. We have received them from the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So that's why John said in verse 2, I was in spirit. Remember, the anointing is the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the anointing of God, and he carries the anointing of God in him. So when he's in you, guess what you have? The anointing. The Spirit has a search engine. Watch this now. I love the way God revealed this to me. And it's the time that we live in. Google. You're familiar with it if you use your computer. You Google things for information. So the Spirit Googles God. He knows the deep things of God. Watch this here. The next verse he says, no one knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man in him. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit, the anointing, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God has a search engine, and he searches the deep things of God so he can go deep, like a deep sea diver, into the thinking of God, my Lord. And his job is to transfer God's thoughts to your life, to my life. This is why this thing seized my spirit, Sister Diane, and I got so excited when God began to unveil it to me that I had to look at it over a course of several days so I could digest it. And it just made me even so much more thankful to worship God that you thought enough to give this to me like this so I can get it. Because, see, God's desire is for us to get it. Because if we don't understand it, what good is it? So just like when you Google something on Google and you pull stuff up that you didn't know, but you pulled it up on Google so you could transfer something to your understanding. So we have exposed to us the World Wide Web. But believers filled with the Spirit of God had exposed to them the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit, the anointing. And he says, it's the job of the Holy Spirit, my Lord, my God. That's good news right there. That's good news to pause right there and give God some praise. Why? Because of 1 Epistle of John 2:20. You have an anointing from the Holy One that you may know all things. Engage him. Engage him. Going forward from here for the rest of this year, I'm going to be stuck in this, Sister Diane, to encourage people to engage the Holy Spirit. I'm going to remind you again, we have down pat to call on the Father through the name of Jesus, but we only want to engage the Holy Spirit during a crisis mode. And Jesus explained him very clearly in the book of John. He said that the Holy Spirit is our helper, our advocate, our intercessor, our counselor, our strengthener, and our standby. So he has characteristics. He has a personality, and he desires to engage us. But guess what? We have to invite him in to engage us. So the job of the Holy Spirit, the job of the Spirit is to reach into the mind of God and transfer the thoughts and insight of God to the ears of the believer. His job is to take truth and make it your experience, my Lord, my God, to bring it and to make it your reality. To make it your reality. Remember Hebrews 11:1? Hebrews 11:1. From the Amplified Bible. Now faith is the assurance, title deed confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. Watch this here. The conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So that's why it's important for us to engage the Holy Spirit, because he makes truth of God's word your experience. And watch this, not just for information, but for transformation. Because John was transformed when he heard that voice like a trumpet. But the transformation came via the Spirit. So notice what he goes on to say. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Here's what I love about the anointing. It doesn't cost you anything. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is freely given to you. So it's available to every believer, and he's available for free. So I'm glad that we can't buy the Holy Spirit, Sister Diane. I'm glad about it. And that happened in the Bible. That some people pushed up on Paul and asked him to sell them the Holy Spirit. You can't buy him. But he's freely given through Christ Jesus. So watch this here. It says, now which thing? We speak not in words taught by human wisdom. Keep that in your mind, because that's going to be the key in the moment. You don't get this by secular understanding. John didn't get what he got on the Isle of Patmos through secular understanding. You don't get this by popular viewpoint. Once you introduce human wisdom into this thing, you've turned down the dimmer switch of the Holy Spirit. And the light will not shine because you've compromised the data that the Holy Spirit has downloaded to you, because you've put a virus in the programming via human wisdom, my Lord, my God. And so it says, not taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Good God Almighty. So the Spirit of God dips into the mind of God, since he is the third member of the Godhead. And he brings to the mind, O spirit of man, that which he cannot physically see, cannot physically audibly hear, and would never think of it naturally, because he cannot, because he has revealed them unto us through the Spirit. And that's what the anointing does. Again, I say Revelation 4 and 2. John quickly let us know that he was seeing this through the Spirit. Now, I know I may sound like a computer geek, because when I was bouncing this off my wife, she said, baby, everybody not a computer geek like you. I said, well, baby, I'm not trying to be a computer geek right now. But because we live in the information age, we get that information either through our computers, cell phones, or tablets to use as a search engine, a.k.a. Google, or whatever search engine you use or are accustomed to using. So you are downloading and uploading. Should we catch this here? And since the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, he resides in two places. He resides in heaven, and he resides in you. So the Holy Spirit downloads information from God and then uploads the information from inside of you to your spirit man, from God the Father and Jesus, into your mind. My Lord, my God, are you with me? So that's what the anointing does. Now here's the issue. Look at verse 14. It says, the natural man receives not the Spirit of God. Let me put it another way. The non-believer does not have the anointing. But then he goes to another person, talking about the scripture here. Paul then goes to the eyes of another person. He says in verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is judged by no one. Verse 16, for who know the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of the Lord via the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the anointing. So here it is. The natural man does not have a receiver, but the spiritual man not only has a receiver, he keeps his receiver on. The spiritual man can appraise or evaluate all things because a spiritual person sends everything through a spiritual grid, a.k.a. Revelation 4 and 2. John said, instantly, I was in the Spirit. So he knew that this information was being transferred to him through the spiritual grid of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So you are only a spiritual Christian. Watch this here, because Sister Diane mentioned it. If you constantly engage the Holy Spirit and send all data through his grid, good God Almighty. So that means you keep the dimmer switch up all the time, because everything is going through the grid of the Holy Spirit through spiritual words, which is the Word of God, and they are downloaded and combined with his spiritual thoughts. Are you with me? Remember what he says in verse 16. You have the mind of Christ. You know what it is to have the mind of Christ? It means Jesus is thinking his thoughts in your brain by means of the Holy Spirit, who is the anointing. And what thoughts is Jesus thinking in you? Thoughts that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and thoughts you wouldn't have thought about thinking, even if you would have been trying to think about it, you couldn't, because the Holy Spirit is bringing his thoughts to your spirit man, who uploads it to your mind, then causing you to have the mind of Christ and not the mind of your flesh. That's why it's important to have the Holy Spirit. Then there's a third group, and it rolls over to chapter 3, verse 1. He says, I, brethren, and your Christians, could not speak to you as spiritual men, as men of flesh, as infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able to receive it because you are still fleshly. So he concludes the verse by saying, You walk like mere men. You walk like a natural man. Your life is not any different than a non-believer. So catch this here. I want to say this before I explain the totality of it. When you see a first and second book throughout the Bible, because they appear many times, that means the writer was writing to that particular group of people the second time because they missed something the first time. So here it is. Paul went to Corinth in 50 AD. He wrote back to them in 55 AD, so that's 5 years. There was a five-year gap between when he went there and led them to Christ, when they got and received the anointing. And when he writes them 5 years later, he says, you ought to be operating in the anointing and through the anointing. By that time, after 5 years, you ought to be more spiritual and consistent when keeping the difference with living through the anointing and not the other way around. Henceforth, what Sister Diane had mentioned, she activates the Holy Spirit. The church at Corinth, after Paul left for 5 years, forgot to continually engage and activate the Holy Spirit. And they missed spiritual things for 5 years. But he says after 5 years, you basically are still like kids. You're still walking like you've never been saved in the first place. And that's a bad thing. So if you are to hear, and if you have been saved for 5 years or more, and you are still not walking in the Spirit, still not living in through the anointing, but you're still walking like mere men, you've wasted 5 years of spiritual growth. In fact, In the book of Hebrews, he condemns them because they've been saved for 30 years and still don't know how to walk in the anointing. Can I suggest to you and warn you the importance of engaging the Holy Spirit as often as you possibly can? So I want to suggest to you that you can be in church for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years and spend your life in church and never get divine programming, because you were not allowing and engaging the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. So therefore, you were not getting things downloaded to your spirit from the Holy Spirit to be uploaded into your mind. Why? Because you were not walking in the anointing. So the anointing is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to illuminate divine insight into your sight, your ears, and your thoughts. But he says you can't do that if you're operating strictly on your human wisdom or through your five senses. So let me close this nugget through 1 John 2 and 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So you have been anointed since you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to wait for somebody to tell you you have the anointing. But what the enemy tricks us in is to wait until somebody try to put you somewhere where you don't belong. Let me explain this real quickly to you. When you are born again, you have the anointing of Christ. So the fivefold ministry's job is to direct you through the anointing into your purpose through the gift God has put in you through the anointing. You may not understand all of your gifts when you first receive Christ as your Savior and have been born again. And that's where leadership comes in through the fivefold mission. But our job is to seek God on your behalf, to ask God where to place your gifts in the church as it pleases him. And we direct you through those gifts via the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So now go to verse 24. He says to them, here's what I want you to do. If you want the anointing to be turned on and turned up, here's what you need to do. He says in verse 24, as for you, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. Now go to verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you all things and is true and not a lie, just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now watch this here. Notice how that word abide kept jumping out of there. You see the word abide. He said it twice. It means you have to hang out in and with the anointing, a.k.a. activate the anointing. You can't just visit it on Sunday, as some tend to do. You must hang out with the anointing because it means to hang out with him. Abide, that's what abide means, to hang out with the anointing. So you must hang out in and with the anointing more than just coming to church. That is, you must hang out in a divinely oriented perspective. And catch this here. So you can ask the question, what does God say and what does God think? And guess what? The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal it to you. Are you with me? So there it is. There it is. You have to turn on to the receiver for it to bring down the programming, the download, to download and upload the programming into your mind, to illuminate your mind and your thoughts with the thoughts of God. Notice what it says. He says, you have the anointing, and you do not have need for anyone to teach you. So let me dive into that real quickly as I prepare to bring this in. It's interesting. It's interesting that he said you have no need for no one to teach you. Why? Number one, because he's teaching them right now. So that's an oxymoron. So that means we need clarity. That's why it's important to look at the context and the totality of the word. He's writing to him, teaching them about the anointing. It's interesting because the Bible says God gives teachers to the church. So now we got to analyze this. It's interesting because the Bible tells you to come and to study the word of God in the collective worship, which includes teaching. It's interesting because Paul says to Timothy, to teach the word and to preach the word in season and out of season. So again, why this oxymoron that I don't need no one to teach me? So why would he say if you have the anointing, you don't need anyone to teach you, for the anointing teaches you? I want you to catch this here. This is why studying the Bible through context is so important to the totality of understanding what the writer is conveying. So now I want you to look at this John, the second chapter. And I want you to look at from verse 18 and look at the heading. Because when I pull up Bible Gateway, it gives you headings throughout the chapter. So let's look at the heading at verse 18. It says, deceptions of the last hour. So John says, little children, it is the last hour. And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So who is John dealing with? John is dealing with the spirits of antichrists who have been lying to the believer. So let me enlighten you to what he's saying. When he says you don't have need for anyone to teach you, he is saying you no longer need to be led by secular thinking, secular information, and secular instructions. That's why Revelation 4 and 2 is important, because when Jesus invited him to come up, he immediately conveyed it to him that this is coming from the Spirit. So don't get this thing twisted, because I've heard people say it many years to leadership. Well, I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need you to teach me. But that's incorrect understanding. John was talking about the Antichrist coming amongst the believers to confuse you. And guess what? That same confusion that was in the Bible day is out here today. The devil do not want you to get that download from the Holy Spirit and the anointing. So the way he does it is to get you to be confused about what you're hearing through leadership. Let me tell you something. God set this up, and God knew what he was doing when he did it in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It says, and he gave. So that means the preachers didn't even give this thing. Some teachers, some pastors, the fivefold ministry. So God gave it for the perfecting of the saints. But I say to you again, when you have the Holy Spirit, leadership is being led by the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't be in a confused state at all. And when you do hear this stuff like John was talking about, that the Antichrist has come, the Holy Spirit will download and upload the truth to you so you can go into leadership and ask a question. Don't jump to conclusions before you know the whole context of what was going on. So now we arrive at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One that you may know all things. So I'm talking about next level faith. So that when God makes an invitation, when you see an invitation as seen from Revelation 4 and 1 to pump up here, the anointing will cause you to perceive it so that you can come up to where God desires for you to be. So I wanted to drop all of this on you this morning so that you could grab it in its totality to understand the importance, excuse me, of what God was showing John and how John heard it when he was on the day of, in the spirit on that day on the Isle of Patmos. So let me share with you some few quick things that I observed through this scripture. The first thing I observed, John said after this, I looked. And there before me was a door standing open in heaven. I see open heaven. That tells me that John saw open heavens through the Spirit. I don't know about you, but in today's time, we need to understand that the heaven is always open for the Spirit-filled believer. You don't have to wait for someone to tell you that it's open. The heavens are always open to us. So John saw an open heaven. So my prayer for your life today, as you listen to this teaching, is that you see an open heaven to you, that there will be nothing hindering, nothing blocking, that there be no barrier between you and God, that the heavens be open to you. I'm declaring open heavens over your life right now. Open heavens over your family. Open heavens over your marriage. Open heavens over your children. And open heaven over your businesses. May the heavens be open to you wherever you go. That you understand that no matter what the circumstances say, no matter how the devil try to show you differently through circumstances, and I want you to catch this here because your emotions are a part of this thing, that even after you have been emotionally disappointed because you think that you didn't get something from God that you thought you saw in the Word, the heavens are still open to you, that you must now engage the Holy Spirit again and make sure you receive the proper download from him, that it may be uploaded properly into your thought process so that you can look and see that the heavens is open to you for 2023. Somebody say open heavens, open heavens. The second thing I saw was open doors. Let's look at it. John said, I saw a door standing open. Ah. So now you got open heavens, and now you have open doors. And that's where the angels come in at, because they have charge over you. Remember the story with Peter being in jail? Who did God send to him? The angels. And the angels tapped Peter and woke him up so that Peter would understand and see that it was an angel there to help him. And what did the angel do? He told him to get up, the chains fell off him, and he walked him to an open door. Let me say this to you. Many have missed this particular portion of scripture. And here's the twofold understanding of it. God leads us to open doors, but we must walk through the door. He invites us to the door, but we must walk through the door. Because Peter walked through the door out of prison and went down the street to the church. So unless he walked to the door from the leading of the angels, he would have never walked out of prison. So you have to walk through the door when you see that it is the door that God has led you to. So I'm declaring open doors over your life for 2023. I'm declaring open opportunities for your life for 2023. That which was closed in your life in 2022, I'm declaring that God opened a door for you and lead you to that door that you may walk through it in 2023. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and it shall be found. Knock, and it shall be open. I'm praying that the doors you've been knocking on, may they open to you for 2023. May that which has been shut off and blocked be open for you in 2023. May you see opportunity. May you see promotion. May you see advancement. May you see achievement and accomplishment in your life for 2023. Is there anybody listening ready for doors to be open for them in 2023? The third thing I see, clear healing. Clear hearing. John said, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet. I was a musician in high school, was in the jazz band. And with all the music going on, when the trumpet player stood up to do his solo, with everybody playing as loud as they could hear him distinctively like nobody else. That's why John said, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a, he did not miss it because God made sure that he wouldn't. This speaks of clarity. It wasn't a whisper, but it was a trumpet. So the third declaration I want to declare over your life today is clear hearing for 2023. May you hear God's voice distinctively through the anointing of the Holy Spirit like a trumpet. May you hear God's voice specifically like a trumpet. May God's voice be in your ear like a trumpet so that you don't have to wonder and you don't have to guess about what he's telling you, that you have no doubt that he is God. He is your Savior. He is leading you through the Holy Spirit. You don't have to guess about this. May you hear him clearly. Clear hearing. May your ear gate be not cluttered or clogged. May your ear gate be open to hear the voice of the Lord. May the chattering going on in community and culture and society, may the chatter of your past failures, may the chatter of your fear be removed, and may you hear the voice of God clearly in 2023. I decree clear hearing for you in 2023. May you hear the voice of God behind you saying, this is the way to walk. Walk you therefore this way in 2023. Come up here. The fourth thing I saw was elevation. So when you have an open heaven, when you have open doors, and when you have clear hearing, notice what God said next. Come up here. God is always inviting us to come up here. And he does it through the anointing. He does it through his spirit. John said in verse 2, I immediately was in the spirit. So I see in this word for you in 2023, elevation. Come up here. May you live your life no longer at the level that you struggled with for so long. May you begin to see your life elevate and move in a whole new dimension. Forget your past failures. As a matter of fact, I want to enlighten you to something and give you a nugget. It doesn't matter how saved you believe that you are still going to be have failures in your life. Why? Because you live in a fallen world and a fallen society. But thanks be unto God, even though society fails through men leading through their wisdom, God will always lead us through the Holy Spirit to where he desires for us to be by making the invitation, come up here. And I want you to grab this here. Don't always look for the circumstances to be perfect. When opportunity comes, the circumstances may not always be perfect, but you have to recognize that it is an opportunity to come up here, and you need to seize it and walk through that door. May you no longer live beneath your promise, beneath your potential, beneath your privilege, but may you know as a child of God, I'm called to live at a higher level. I'm called to walk at a higher level. I'm called to see at a higher level, and I'm called to speak at a higher level. When you engage the Holy Spirit, when you activate the Holy Spirit, you will speak as that witness at a higher level as Sister Diane did to that person at the birthday dinner. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to live at a higher level that God has created and destined for me to live in. Are you ready to live at a higher level for 2023? Come up here. The fifth thing I saw was vision. So I'm praying over your life for 2023. Open heavens. I'm praying over your life for open doors. I'm praying over your life for clear hearing. I'm praying over your life for elevation. And I want you to catch this here. Then he says, I will show you vision. I declare that you no longer live in ambiguity. You're no longer groping in the dark. You're no longer bumping your head up against the wall because you can't see nor hear from God, because you can't see which way to go. Because you now have a hearing ear, you also have a seeing eye. May vision be imparted to you for your family, for your marriage, for your finances, and for your businesses and your careers. May you have vision. The last thing I saw, he says, and finally he says, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. That's direction. That's order. That's why you have the fivefold ministry in your life. Even as I spoke the last time we were together, that you need to check your inbox because God is trying to show you something. And I shared with you the story of Samuel, and that Samuel kept hearing God calling, but he kept running to his leader. Leadership. I say to anyone who's listening, who's a leader under the fivefold ministry from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I encourage you to seek God and to come up here in new ways. Yeah, you've done a good job up until now, but God is always calling us in leadership to come up here so that the people will follow us where you are called, where God is calling us to be. Direction and order. He said, I will show you what must take place after this. It's this and then it's that. That's the divine order of God. After this. In other words, since the pandemic, even until now, God showed us how to get through the pandemic. But now he must show us what must take place after this. We keep hearing in the news, now there's a recession upon us. After this. So now we must understand what must take place after this. God says, I will give you direction, and I will help you have order in your life. You will no longer be subject to chaos and the confusion and the disarray and the disorder of society. But because you have been hearing here and the heavens are open, doors are open, and you're living life at a whole new level, and you're seeing things at a whole new vision, may order come and bring you out of the chaos that has been plagued us for the last 3 years. May God bring you out of the confusion of what they're talking about, of the recession being upon us, and bring us out of the darkness of a recession. May you now begin to live a life that is intentional, a life that is lived on purpose, a life that is lived actively, a.k.a. what Sister Diane said, to engage and activate the Holy Spirit. Next level faith. Come up here. I'm done, Sister Diane.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you wish it's not just, you know, a short time. When the word is getting good and you're feeding from off the word, you don't want it to end. I'm just inviting the listeners at this time. If you have a question for Pastor Bowen, encourage him, pray for him. You know, you want to give your life to him today. Those that are listening on other devices, the calling number is 347-857-3925. And for those of you that are listening live, all you have to do is press the number 1, and you will be live on air. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for using Pastor Bolin this day to bring forth the word. Father, we ask you this day to refresh, refill, and rejuvenate him as he poured out of himself, Lord Father, and into us. Father, we take it not for granted for the word that came forth. Father, we receive the word, Lord Father, and we will not just be hearers of the word, Lord Father, but we will be doers of the word as well. So, Father, I ask that you continue, Lord Father, to keep him covered under the blood, Lord. Father, as he continued to preach and teach your word this day, we cancel the assignment of the enemy this day, as the word, Lord Father, will reach where it needs to be reached at this day, at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Elder Bolin, I just continue to thank you for coming on, sharing what God has given to you, to our listeners, to those that listen live, those that listen at a later date. So I'm going to open the floor that you can go ahead and give your information to our listeners.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Diane. I take this not lightly for this opportunity. Oh, God, I am just so thankful for my spiritual father. I thank the Lord for Bishop Porter. I thank the Lord that although I never saw her face-to-face before she made her transition to be with the Lord, I am so ever so grateful that she gave me the opportunity to be on this broadcast. Our ministry, Win at Life Ministry, we meet first and third Sundays at 321 Southwest Street, Charlestown, West Virginia, 25414 at 11 a.m. You can also follow me on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Facebook and YouTube at Win at Life Ministry, where I do our word study. I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve. I thank the Lord that in engaging the Holy Spirit, I tell you, Sister Diane, I want you to stay right there, Sister. I want everyone to stay right there. When you said it, my spirit jumped from within me when you said engaging and activating the Holy Spirit. It is a must. We must engage the Holy Spirit outside of crisis mode. It's important. Yes, he's there to help us in a crisis, but he wants to be more than that to us, and the only way we do it, by inviting him in. So I am thankful for this opportunity every month. I get excited about it, Sister Diane. After I do my stuff I need to do at my at our ministry the first 2 weeks of the month or whatever's going on, I tell my wife, and in between those weeks we keep our grandson. I have it on my calendar. I send my wife a text message. Okay, I'm going to the library today so I can get ready for the fourth Wednesday of the month. You know why? Not because I think I'm all that. No, because God invited me up. Oh, my God. God invited me up into this broadcast, and I thank God, Sister Diane, I accepted the invitation. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was skeptical about it in the beginning because you know what? A whole bunch of stuff was going on in my life at the time. And now I thank God that he is elevating me to see his word even in greater ways that I never thought before. When he dropped this lesson on me and took me back to that Corinthians thing, it blew me away because I accepted the invitation. The invitation is made to everyone listening today. next level faith, come up here. God bless you.
Oh, I'm just thanking you for the word, and continue to press forward. I know that you was also going to embark on another journey in your life. I'm trusting that is already kicking off. I know it was a life coach. That's what it was that you was about to adventure on.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's still unfolding. But you know what I forgot? Lord, forgive me. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I think I mentioned my daughter was going through some health challenges. And it was looking like she was going to have cervical cancer. And they were talking about removing her ovaries and all of this stuff. The last time she had an episode, God revealed to me what he was doing, and she got her healing in the emergency room. Oh, God have mercy. And when the doctors examined her the second time, I want everybody to hear this, because when she first came to me with it, the first thing the devil said is, I didn't get you with cancer, but I'm going to get your daughter with cancer. Well, you know what I did with that, Sister Diane. I engaged the Holy Spirit and said, not so, but what do you have to say about this? And God said to me, my covering is for you and your family, because you are the priest of the family. So I'm giving you the authority through the Holy Spirit to speak healing over your daughter. So she got sick at work. They had to rush her to the hospital right around the corner from my house while I was keeping my grandson. And I told my wife, we had visitors there that day to see the grandson, and said, don't say anything to anybody. I'm just going to ease out of the door and go over to this hospital and let God take care of this. The doctor came with this report. We don't know why it's happening this way, because fluid was building up in her ovaries, and they were exploding, causing pain for her. And I'm like, well, what's going on? And when he went back out of the room and took her, the Holy Spirit says, I'm blowing this up. That's what I'm doing. I'm blowing this cancer up out of her ovaries right now. It's uncomfortable, but when this is over with, it's all going to be over with. When the doctor came back, he said, everything has cleared up. Everything, Sister Diane, everything cleared up. And I looked at my daughter, and here's what my daughter said. God, if I start crying, forgive me. She said, that's why I love my daddy. Because when I call him, I know he's going to call God. Good God Almighty. Let me say to all you parents, I know sometimes you don't think your kids may be getting this thing. I've gone through that. But I know now that my daughter gets it. And I said to her, that same God, sweetie, is now telling you as an adult, because you ain't a baby no more. You have to make the decision for yourself to constantly involve God in your life. And she said, okay, Daddy. Oh, God, I got tears in my eyes because my baby had tears in my eyes. And when they came back, Doc said, I can't explain it. And I started laughing. I know you can't. Good God Almighty. Then she went to her gynecologist. He said, I don't know where everything went, but it's gone. Of course it's gone. Because God is a healer. And God imparted to me because of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness through being faithful to me in everything I have called you to do and made the invitation for you to come to do. And it was not easy, but I ain't done with you yet. Good God Almighty. I'm still trying to get a house. I'm about to start my education to become a life coach, and I've already gotten a call from somebody since then who wanted to commit suicide, but God told them no, because believers are supposed to commit suicide. I went to high school with this boy, and God rejuvenated him and his marriage, so I know God is calling me to this. But now he's moving the obstacles out of the way because the enemy is fighting it. But anyway, I just want to share that testimony, Sister Diane. Back to you.
I am so glad that you shared the testimony today. I don't know. It's like you get so much prayer requests for cancer. And we are to be our brothers and sisters keepers. And Elder Boland, you in our testimony. Continue to share your testimony. God tell you to share it on this broadcast. Share it on this broadcast. You encourage others as well. Amen. So I just thank God for you, you and you for joining this broadcast today. If you would like to listen to this broadcast again, go ahead and visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and click on that link. If you have not liked or follow our page, go ahead and do so. Remember, God loves you. You are precious in his sight. Remember, don't just be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word. And know that there is nothing that can happen to you today that the God in you cannot handle. Be blessed.
And let God, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God.